Good morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 12, verse 34. And I'd like to ask you to stand if you're able as I read from God's Word. Today I'm going to be preaching on Where is Your Treasure? Luke 12, 34. I'm going to read verse 33 and 34. Those two go together very well. Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves money belts which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask and pray today that we would align our hearts with your word this morning. That, Father, if we have our hearts set on heaven, that's where our treasure should be. And Lord, if any of us today have our treasures directed anywhere else, then God, we pray that you will speak to each and every one of us according to the need in our life, and direct our hearts back to you, Father, and back to heaven, and let us focus on storing up for ourselves treasures in heaven. And Father, as I preach this message, we ask God that you will speak through your Holy Spirit and let nothing come from my own words or my flesh. And we ask it all in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. An individual's heart, their desires, and priorities are ultimately shaped by what they value most. I want you to really take that to heart this morning. Your heart, your desires, and your priorities are shaped by what you value most. And I want to ask you right now, and I want you to think about this, what do you value the most in your life? Now, if you can honestly say, I don't have the Lord in that number one spot, I pray that every one of us struggling with that will achieve the ability today to put God as the number one treasured spot of our life. The verse I just read, it's encouraging us to invest our time, our energy, and our resources to lay up treasures in heaven, not earthly possessions. The things of this world, they're material. They will be destroyed one day. And listen to this, the things of God are eternal. They really are. I want us this morning to first look and examine our life. I want us all to take a good look at what we treasure and what we spend our time with. Where do you spend the most part of your day? What do you spend it with? I remember hearing a story one time about a man who went out and he bought him a really nice sports car. I think it was like a Corvette or something like that. And he was so proud of it, he took it home. Now, the dealership had already washed it and waxed it and had it spit shine. But he got home and he took it. He parked it out in his driveway for all of the neighbors to see. He was so pleased with that Corvette sports car. And after he got it home, about 20 minutes later, he drug out a bucket. He got out the hose and he got out the soap. And he washed it again after the dealership had already cleaned it up. Took the vacuum cleaner and then got in it and took the T-tops out, drove it around town, come back home and parked in the driveway. And Sunday rolled around. It was time to go to church. And the man said, well, I got to looking at my car this morning and I noticed there was a little bit of dust on it. I think I'll stay home today and I think I'll wash my car. So see what happens. The man got stuck it in a little loop of a bad habit, and he missed one Sunday. He started spending so much time with his car that over the passing weeks, he didn't go back to church. And soon, the car became the focus of his heart and life. And I say that to let you know this. There are things in our life that we put, and sometimes we don't do it intentionally. And I want to tell you the one big thing that we're all, that so many people are hooked on, and that's this device right here. You know what people are focused on so much right now that I see? They get on Facebook and they'll put a post up there, and here's what they're doing with their phone. I wonder if anybody liked my post. I wonder if anybody loved my post. I wonder how many comments I got. And you'll see families, and I hate this. When I go to a restaurant, I put my phone in the console, because when I go into the restaurant with Janine, I've got something beautiful to look at. I don't need to look at my phone. And I want my wife to know that she's got priority over this deal when we're out to dinner. So I throw it in the console and leave it. And she does the same thing. But I see families, and they'll be, and you know what they're doing? They're texting one another. This thing has become a trophy in people's life. It really has. Some folks act like they can't live without it. They act like their world would come to an end. I saw a video where a teenager got in trouble and the parents took the phone away, and the child, this was on video, the child went into a raging fit and started cussing their parent out on a video. And I thought, my word. See, so it's very easy. Boy, I got something. I think Mr. Haney's trying to come out there. It's so easy, though, for us to get engrossed in things of this world, and then we make them an important fixture of our life. And it could be money. It could be your job. It could be your home. It could be your family. And you know what? It could even be your church. I say that because I pastored a church, and I wasn't there very long. And there was four ladies in the church that came to me and said, Brother Jim, we want to decorate the Lord's Supper table, but we want you to decide who does it. And I said, now, wait a minute, ladies. And see, their commitment was all in the wrong place. And after about a week or two, I said, I want y'all to put up a schedule, talk to each other, somebody take a month and decorate the table next month. Well, then they got to where they was fighting because one didn't like how the other one decorated the table. So see, you can make things a priority that should never be a priority. So take a good look at your life. What are you spending the most time with? I mean, I have to be very careful of things in my life. But the thing that I have to keep forefront of my thoughts is when I get up out of bed, what's my first choice going to be? It should be to hit my knees on the floor and thank God for another day that He's given me life and good health, and that He's blessed me with His love and His grace and His presence. But I think we've all come to a place where we need to reorient our priorities. That's where you start to classify what's most important down to the least important. It's kind of like when you go to a hospital, they triage people. They treat the most serious emergency, and then whoever's not so bad off, they'll put them at the bottom of the list. And I want you to know, every single Christian person needs to reprioritize their life and put God back in the number one spot, because God says He is a jealous God. If we are spending more time with other things that He's given us, then we are making those things an idol. And God says that we shall have no other idols before Him, for He is a jealous God. And that's something, you know, because people like about the church buildings. I mean, I was talking to a man the other day, and he said, Our church overseer, you know, some churches have a district and they'll have an overseer. He said, I want you guys to go on the west side of Carbondale to that property we own, and I want you to break ground and build the new building and get it done. Because he said, I believe the old building is holding us back. And I thought, huh? And I said, well, wait a minute. I want to know, where is your new building going? He says, well, we're going in across from the Carbondale driver's license station. He said, our building is going to cost $16 million. And I thought, well, I think our priorities are in the wrong place. I used to think when I was young, I used to think it was so important for me to pastor the big church. It was so important for me to have a fine-looking office and all these things and fine seats and all. And I come to quickly realize as I got older and wiser that it was more important for me to focus my life and my attention on the things that God had placed before me and not the things that I thought were so important to go after. We should start seeking things that have eternal value. And these are some things, if you want to write them down, God and His kingdom. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We should be seeking to help others in need, enriching our prayer life. Now here's a big one, teaching a class. That's where people go, oh my, the preacher's going to start looking for volunteers to preach a class. No, I'm not looking for volunteers, but here's something I want to really put out. We got some young people coming to church now, and I really believe we need a youth class or a young kids class, and I want people to really start praying about it. Is God dealing with your heart to start teaching a class? If He is, then what I would do is say, yes, Lord, I'll do it, because if you seek God first, He will take care of every need. Maybe serving as a deacon. Oh, there's a big one. Some people go, now, preacher, I come to church, that's enough. No, it's not enough. You know, within the body of Christ, He's given us all gifts. He's given us all talents. Not all of us can be an Effie and play the piano. I know I sure can't play the piano. If all of us played the piano, do you imagine how funny it would look? Everybody be up there at one time doing the same thing? Well, the church body can't function like that. That's why God gave each and every one of us certain gifts, certain skills and abilities, and God wants us to seek those out and use them for His honor and the building of His kingdom. And if we use them within the church, yeah, coming to church is great, but I've always said it's not enough. If we're going to grow in Christ, then we've got to start reaching out and taking the Lord by the hand and say, Father, I will not be afraid to do what You have called me to do within my church. A lot of times people will go to church and they're not really seeking after God. Here's what they're seeking after. What can the church do for me? What does the church have to offer me? And then I ask people, well, wait a minute. What do you have to offer the church? That's what it's about. What do you have to offer God? See, sometimes the smallest sacrifice that you give can become the greatest and biggest blessing of your life. You think of the little widow woman in the Bible who basically had very little money, but she took all she had in money and she gave it out of the joy of her heart. She gave it with love, but she gave all she had, and the Lord blessed greatly in her life what little bit she was willing to give up. What are you willing to give up for Christ? What are you willing to change in your life to make Christ first? Secondly, your heart will follow your treasure. And boy, that's true right there. When your heart follows your treasure, A direct link is established. If you're focused on financial gain, your focus will be on money. Did you know that? And that's a problem, really. There are so many people in this world who act and live like they're going to be here for forever. They act like they're never going to die. They don't see, you know, being buried in their future. So they go out and they work and they toil and slave to amass large amounts of money. And I'll tell you what, it becomes a sacrifice for a lot of people. And then that money becomes an idol. Well, you know what the love of money does? The love of money, it's an evil thing. Now, let me tell you this. Having money, there's nothing wrong with having money, but it's what you allow it to do to you that's the problem. So, churches, as I said, they're going to build a $16 million church. Well, that's a lot of money going out. I've told you, I would be fine preaching in a little lean-to building. I would be fine preaching in a log cabin building. We went down to Dollywood about 4 years ago, and Janine's cousin got us in on her day pass, and we got to go down, there's a replica building of where Dolly Parton went to church when she was a child. And I want to tell you something. When I walked in that building, I could already feel so much spirit in it. And it was modeled exactly. There were big gaps in the floor. There was old oak pews. They weren't comfortable at all. There was a little pulpit up there. There was a console, well, console piano like we have, or a wall piano like we have here, and a picture of Jesus. There wasn't nothing fancy in there, but here's what I felt. I didn't feel the money or anything about that building, but what I felt was the Spirit of the Lord in that place. And I thought, boy, if we could have church services back in those good old buildings, because I've heard many a story from seniors that I grew up with in life, seniors ahead of me, they would tell me about the good old days, how they'd sit in there and they have a cardboard fan. It was so hot in the summer. And they'd be fanning because they didn't have no air. But they said the Spirit of the Lord moved in a mighty way. And if the Spirit of the Lord is moving in a church, then that's exactly where I'd want to be. But we sat on the front row of that pew. And we sat there in that pew for a while. And all I could do was sit and take it in. But so many churches today are focused on having a building where everything costs millions because they want to impress and wow everybody around them. That's not what we're here for. We are here to serve the Lord our God and please Him with all things. If you treasure spiritual things, then your heart will be focused on God. Your life will be more complete. Your joy will be full. And your heart will be lighter. So see, if you go after God, He's going to take care of every need. Now, it may not look like it in the moment of trouble. You might be going through something, and you might feel like, man, I've been left all alone. But let me reassure you of this. God said that He will never leave you, and He would never forsake you. And if God has said that, then I believe it. And if we pursue God, then God will always be with us. But I've often heard people say, well, the Lord abandoned me in my life. No, I don't believe that. The only time that we ever get abandoned by the Lord is when we walk away from Him, when we start chasing after the worldly desires. But if you can just imagine what your life would be like if you were completely sold out for the Lord. Is your path going to be rosy? No. Will life be easy all the time? No. But I'll tell you this, I'm going to pick on Corrine just a minute. Now, I'm just going to say this. If I've ever seen a woman of faith, this lady's got it. Because we were sitting in the hospital room in the ER about 3 weeks ago when Milton fell. And she told me if the Lord decided to take Milton, that would be fine, whatever his will would be. And she was speaking that with a lot of faith. She looked me right in the eye, and she had most peace about her. And that right there is a testimony. And that's why I'm sharing that with you. Chase after God. Seek Him with your heart. And you know, David wrote in the Psalms, as a deer pants for the water, so my soul pants for you, O God. And that should be our prayer every day. We should be saying, God, thank you for today. Thank you for my life. And God, I need you today more than yesterday. And I want to have divine fellowship with you. When you make that declaration in your life and you commit and you put your shoes to the ground and you start to walk, you follow in His footsteps, I'm guaranteeing you that God will make your life sweeter than it's ever been. If you walk without God, you're going to walk in misery. You're going to walk in trouble. You will walk in defeat. But if you have God on your side, when you go through those battles, when you go through the strifes, He is right there. And all we got to do is keep singing, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Earthly versus heavenly treasure. Jesus shows a contrast on the instability of material wealth with the eternal security of spiritual treasures. Material things are temporary, but yet we seek to fulfill the things of this earthly nature. We are to seek and fulfill and find security in God's kingdom. The Bible kind of basically puts it like this. If you take your life and you build it upon the things of this world, it's like building your house out on the sand. And Jesus gave this illustration that when the storms come, the house was destroyed. But when the house was built on the solid foundation of Jesus and the winds and the storms came, the house stood. I like the song. There's a song called, If It Wasn't For the Lighthouse, Where Would This Ship Be? If it wasn't for the light and the love of the Lord, I wouldn't have never made it through some of the dark times. But He's shown His love and His light. And I want to tell you this. Even before you were saved, before you knew who Jesus was, do you realize that He was already chasing after you? That's how much He loves you. That's how much He desires to fellowship with you. How many of you have ever seen a child wanting to be held and they go up to mom or daddy and they lift up their arms and your mom or dad, basically maybe a dad, pick you up and hold you? Boy, wouldn't it feel good? For me, it was always my grandparents when I was little. And now I got a little embarrassed when I was 12 years old. My granny used to say, come here and sit on my lap. Now, granny, no, I'm getting a little big for you. She said, I told you to come sit on my lap. Give me some love. And sometimes I feel the Lord is like that. The Lord says, I want you to come to me. And all I want you to do is get in my lap. Lay your head against my breast, and I want you to rest in me. I want you to seek the things that I have for your life, because if we would do that, oh, I'm telling you what a fellowship, what a relationship, and what a strength that would be possessed in your life. And if you keep your eyes on the Lord, you'll want to come to church every week. Now, remember, church is not based on who's there. it's who's up above the church that we're coming for. So remember, the material things of this earth, well, they're going to pass away. If you read in the book of Revelation at the end of time, this old earth and the old heaven, they're going to be destroyed. They're going to be consumed in a fire. God's going to destroy all of it. And in Revelations it says, John said this in his writing, there was a new heaven and a new earth. So, see, don't amass for yourself. So don't go through life trying to futilely live, trying to solve all your problems, trying to make everything work out how you think it should work out. All you got to do is surrender to the Lord and submit to Him, resist the devil. That devil's going to flee from you, and then you rest in the Lord, because when you follow after the things of God, He's going to pour into your life exactly what you need according to what you're going through. Lastly, examine your priorities. Self-reflection. I want you to examine where your time and your money and your energy are invested. I've got an illustration that I think this is funny. If you spend your time in money and the things of this earth, that's going to be like a man who got himself in a revolving door and went in circles for the longest time. And finally, when he got tired, he found a way out, but he realized he never got nowhere. That was an illustration my grandpa gave to me. Well, when I was younger, I didn't really understand it, but he said this to me. He said, you can chase the things of this earth and you're not going to wind up any better. Than you'll be tired and you'll never get anywhere. But he said, fix your eyes on the Lord and you seek to please the Lord. And he said, your life is going to have so much meaning to it. You're going to have a reason to smile. And if you are a Christian, man, you should be smiling all the time. Really, you should. I mean, think of it. You get to come to church every Sunday and see your church family. You should be smiling. When you get out of bed, you're not just serving anybody. You're serving the Lord. You're living for the King of Kings. You're living for the one that died for you and made your way into heaven by His shed blood. That should get you excited right there. So where is your treasure? What are you sowing into in this life? What are you making? What is it that you're making so important? I hope today that every single one of us will shift God back into the number one spot and keep Him there and then never rearrange that. If you've got God first, everything will fall into place in your life just as He intended it to.